thank you, ladies. Thank you, Brother Jorgensen. And I'm sure many ask this, but if you will, Brother Jorgensen, send my love to Brother Cugit, personal friend, and what a good man. Folks, I'm going to preach to you for a little while, and I know you've been sitting here for a little while, but if you just stay with me, nothing more important than the preaching of the Word of God.
Right.
Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 9. If you're a guest, we have a rule here in our church. If your cell phone goes off during my church service, you have to buy me a pizza. All right? So, and as you can see, I have had pizza before. And so make sure your cell phone doesn't go off. And here's what happens. I'm not a good concentrator. If I'm preaching along and something interrupts me, it just frustrates me. So do your best to sit still and not move around unless you have an emergency. Because here's what happens to me. If I'm preaching along and I get frustrated and lose my place, the only thing I know to do is start all over again. We could be here all night. So just try to sit still so I can get you out of here. You can go home and have some popcorn and ice cream and get out of here and relax. But until then, just stay with me if you will. Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'll give you just a break for a moment. Also in reverence to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 9, look at verse number 35, and the Bible says this, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Let me pray. Holy Spirit of God, make this a special night. Oh, for us, Lord, but most of all, for our dear Savior. God, all we want to do is honor you. Spirit of God, don't just challenge us. Change us. Might we leave here tonight being better because we came. Those that are guests, might they see that you're a loving God and a powerful God to the saved. Help us, Lord, that we would concentrate on the truth to the lost. Might they meet the Savior tonight. Spirit of God, do a supernatural work, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. In the passage of Scripture that I just read to you, it tells us that Jesus had traveled throughout Galilee. And in traveling, he had visited many cities and villages, and he was preaching. In that passage, and as you read that chapter of Scripture, you're going to find that Jesus mentions salvation. He mentions the importance of heaven. He mentions that he runs across in his travels many sick people. The Bible says he came across multitudes of people, and it said the multitude were fainting. In other words, they were weary. They were wore out. And it actually tells us that they were scattered abroad like sheep with no shepherd. What was happening is there were all sorts of people that were hurting. They were in pain, they were sick, and they were leaderless, so they didn't have what they needed. And the Bible says in verse number 36, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion when he seen those sick folks, and those hurting folks, and those needy folks. It said that he was moved with compassion. Now, one word is the title of my sermon tonight, the word moved. I'm glad Jesus was moved. I'm glad that we have a God who can be moved in regard to the need of the human race. Jesus was moved. You say, what does that mean? It means Jesus was affected by what he saw. It means that Jesus was motivated by what he had seen. It means that Jesus in his heart was stirred. Jesus was inspired. Jesus was enthused. Hey, this sight that Jesus saw, it activated inside him a compassion and a love for those people. I've got a question for you tonight. Are you spiritually moved? Are you a spiritually motivated person? I had a man at church I pastored. His name was Paul. He helped with our church's finances. And one day he suggested to the deacons, he said, I think we ought to get what's called a key man insurance policy on Brother Owens. We ought to insure him for $1 million and make the church the beneficiary. And the deacons immediately voted yes. I got to tell you all something. It's not a real pleasant feeling knowing you're worth more dead than alive, and the deacons passed the vote very, very quickly. But this was Paul's thinking. He said, Brother Owens, you're a highly motivated person, and something happened to you. The banks are dependent on you leading this thing, and it would be very hard if the church lost you. It would be hard on them financially and everything. But he said, we need to get that insurance policy. And they did, and thank God they never had to cash in on it. I'm living proof of that. But that thought inspired my sermon. I try to keep myself motivated. Some people would say I'm a motivator. Others just say I'm a motor mouth. I'm not sure which is true. You may pick. But leaders are required to be self-starters. And churches need more than one key person. They had an insurance policy on me. It's called a key man insurance policy. But did you know churches need more than one key person? Hey, churches need more than one self-starter. Amen. But let me tell you something. I know what starts me. I know what motivates me. You see, I've learned what lights my fire. I've learned what keeps me going. I've learned what fires me up. In life, I've learned what electrifies me. I know how to flip my own switch. I know what turns me on high. I know what inspires me. I know what generates my enthusiasm. I know what energizes me. I know what primes my pump. I know what encourages me. I know what causes me to shift into high gear. I know what causes me to shift into overdrive. Listen, hey, you need to learn how to encourage yourself. I want to teach you something tonight. If you'll let me, I would like to teach you all how to have your own private spiritual pep rally. Hey, you ever wonder who encourages the preacher to get up and be encouraged?
Right.
Well, I had to learn how to move myself. I had to learn how to encourage myself. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what spiritually motivates you? Do you know that? Dr. Jack Hiles was my pastor for many, many years. I was there for 18 years and on his staff. He told me this. He said, Jeff, there are two things that you need to study, and you need to study deeply. Number one, you study the Word of God and know it inside and out. He said, number two, you study yourself. You better figure out what gets you down and be careful of those things. You better figure out what lights your fire and learn how to use those things to your benefit. He said, know the Word of God and know yourself. There are people in this room tonight. You need to learn yourself. You need to learn what motivates you. That may be the only difference between a self-starter and somebody that's not a self-starter. I know what moves me spiritually. I mean, folks, I virtually have a list. I have a list, and I go to that list and let it do its job. Jeff Owens has learned how to inspire Jeff Owens. Now, my list might not be like yours, and yours might not be like mine, but I'm going to tell you all something. Everybody in life faces difficult times when you need to get yourself motivated, you need to get yourself enthused, you need to get yourself energized, you need to get yourself moving in the right direction, and it would be a good idea if you knew what moved you. Hey, I got to tell you something. The preacher can't be with you all the time. You can't be in church 24/7. You won't always have access to the preacher, but if you've got a list of what moves you spiritually, what motivates you, you can refer to that list and you can become a self-starter. Hey, leadership of the church, rise up and I don't think we ought to depend on the motivation of just one for a church to go forward. Amen. I think there ought to be a lot of motivated people.
Right.
I am watching churches across America. Pastors are wore out. Because the pastor is the one that is doing all the motivating. Well, what would be wrong if some men in the church got on fire for God and they became motivated? Listen, I'm not talking about a humanistic thing. I'm talking about you knowing what flips your switch spiritually. And you're going to need it. All of us need it.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, I hate to admit it, but I have times of discouragement. I have times when my heart is broken. I have times when I am wore out. And you say, what do? Well, when I come to my senses, I go to my list and I say, all right, now these things in the past have helped me to get over a hump. These things in the past got me out of the mully grubs. You all understand Greek? Mully grubs. These things move me. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to very quickly, I'm going to share with you my personal list. I'm going to let you into my personal life. I'm going to share with you very quickly. I promise it won't take long. Hey, the smarter you look, the more you smile, and if you act like you like it, we'll get out of here quicker.
Amen.
Don't make me take 3 hours to get you to like me now.
Amen.
There you go. I'm going to share with you my list. And folks, I really mean it. You need a list to help you to get through the difficulties of life. What would be wrong with knowing what moves you? What would be wrong with that? Let me tell you this. The very first thing on my list is the word duty. I'm moved by duty. This is the most important one. The word duty is used in Luke 17:10. You say, what is that? Well, duty, it's just my responsibility. It's my duty to go forward. It's my duty to keep on going. And this is what happens. When everything else on my list maybe does not work, this one will work. You say, why? Because duty is this. Duty is where I look myself in. I look at myself in the mirror and I say, Jeff Owens, you are to keep on going. Now, I've got some other things on my list that are a whole lot more pleasant. And they're fluffy. And they're sweet. And they're kind. But you know, that doesn't always work for me. Every once in a while, Jeff Owens has got to grab Jeff Owens by the collar and say, buddy, get going. You're not going to sit there and whine. And you're not going to pout. Get up and get going. And I have to make me go do what is right to do. What's happened to the cause of duty in our lives? There's sometimes you're just not going to feel like it. There's sometimes it's not going to be convenient. There's sometimes it's not going to be easy. So what do? You do what you're supposed to do because it's right to do. It's called duty. We need duty in our life. Obedience because it's right. And folks, when everything else fails, I pull rank on myself. I'll be honest, I try the fun things on my list first. Now, ice cream's not on my list, but it could be. But if I tried ice cream and cookies to get myself encouraged and it does not work, in the end, I'll look at myself and say, get going! I'll get up and go do what you're supposed to do. And if I ask myself why, I'll say, because it's right. Folks, you don't need to be patted on the head and rubbed on the belly every time and given a candy cane to do everything you're supposed to do in life. Sometimes you're just supposed to do what you're supposed to do because it's right to do. But the word duty is on my list. Let me tell you the second thing on my list. Failure. I got to tell you, I don't want to fail. I don't like failure. Now, we have a generation of people that are growing up and they don't mind failing. I don't like to fail. I don't want to fail. I want to succeed. I've not put failure down as one of my options. I don't want to fail. Failure is very distasteful to me. I don't know about all of you, but I don't want to fail. Did you know that when I play basketball, I play to win? Sure. And I'm competing against the devil. You know what? I'm playing to win. I want to win. And I'll tell you, I would love for America to get a winning attitude again. We need to win. Now, listen, I was about 9 years of age. I got sick. I had never tossed my cookies before. I don't say vomit because my wife will get on me if I say vomit in the pulpit. So I never say vomit in the pulpit. I was about 9 years of age and I tossed my cookies. I'm going to tell you something. That tastes nasty. I was 9 years of age. It tastes really bad, and it tastes bad for a long time.
Yes.
And I said to myself, self, don't do that again.
Right.
Folks, I'm 54 years of age, and I've not tossed my cookie since.
Amen.
You want to know why? It's distasteful. It's distasteful. You want to know something? To me, failure is distasteful. I don't want to fail. And some of you need to get a little of this in you. You're way too satisfied when you're failing. Now look, I know God loves you when you're failing. But I'm not real sure He intended for you to be happy about it.
That's right.
Failure needs to become distasteful again.
Yes.
Some of you old gray hairs, you know what I'm talking about. In America, there used to be an attitude that we want to succeed.
That's right.
Do or die. You don't hear much of that anymore. But on my list, I've got the word duty. On my list, I've got the word failure. On my list, I've got these words, broken hearts. I'm telling you what motivates me. I'm telling you what moves me. When I see the tears of brokenhearted people, I'm moved. Look, don't you cry around me. You make me cry. Oh, it moves me. I don't know what it is, but when I see the tears of the human race, it just moves me. Hurting people move me. It moves me to want to do something about it. It moves me to want to help. I'll never forget this story. I think I might have told it here at this church 12, 14 months ago, but I got a telephone call. It was about 3 weeks before Christmas. Someone said, "Preacher, you need to come. We've got a terrible accident." I went. They said, the Clark family, all five of them, mom and dad and all three children burnt to death in their mobile home last night. All five of them. There are people in this room that attended a funeral. I did a funeral for five people in one family at one time. An auditorium that would seat 1,200 people was packed out. The TV cameras were there. People were there. I'll never forget. Oh, did it break my heart. I had the Christmas gifts, all of it burnt. They burned to death. I'll tell you something. I'll remember the weeks afterwards. I would come out onto the platform to preach on a Sunday morning, and I'd look up in the balcony, and there was Grandma and Grandpa Clark. I'll tell you, no matter what I was facing that week, no matter what I faced personally, when I'd come out on that platform, I would look up, and I'd watch the tears from Grandma and Grandpa Clark's face just rolling down their face. If I was tired, Brother Edwards, I'll tell you, the minute I seen those tears, I wasn't tired anymore. Amen. You want to know why? Amen. Grandma and Grandpa Clark needed a preacher that would stand up and put all the cares of life aside and get motivated to help them. Grandma and Grandpa Clark needed a preacher that could get a hold of God so God could heal their broken heart because their son and daughter-in-law and three of their grandchildren had burnt to death. I want to tell you something. We get so self-centered. You need to figure out what moves you. I happen to know that when I see the tears of broken-hearted people, it motivates me. It inspires me. It makes me want to go do something good to help people. Hey, you know what moves you? Duty moves me. Failure moves me. Broken hearts move me. The thought of hell moves me. If you're a Christian here tonight, I have to tell you, hell is real to me. And I don't want anybody to go there. If I'm needing a little bit of motivation, I just begin to think about how the Bible describes this place called hell. I think of the fact that it is a place of burning and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's where people live for all eternity because they did not trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And if I'm having a tough time, and for some reason I don't want to go out because it's a little bit hot, or it's a little bit cold to go on the bus route, or it's a little inconvenient to go soul winning, all I have to do is begin to think about it's not as hot here in North Carolina as it is in hell for the people that have never trusted Christ, and I can get myself motivated real quick. You know what some of you need to do? Say, I'm having a hard time getting going for God. Why don't you just think about the people that are burning in hell tonight and let it motivate you to get yourself up and get to church and get in the soul winning program? You need move. You need something that will motivate you to go forward. I have a list. I have these written down. I let these things jumpstart me. Boy, do I hate to admit it. I need jumpstarted often. I need jumpstarted often. But I figured out what to do to keep me going forward for God. What else moves me? Heaven moves me. I love the thought of heaven. I want people to see that heaven's a real place. I want people to have hope. I want people, listen, I don't know when, and look, I believe there's a heaven, and I'm not trying to get on the next busload. I'm more than glad to live down here until God calls me away. But there's a place called heaven. And let me say to everybody in here, those of you that have loved ones that have passed on, heaven's a real place. You'll see them again someday.
Right.
And those of you that you fight diseases and pains and aches and things in your body and illnesses, let me make you a promise. One of these days, God's going to heal you completely. And you're going to be in that place called heaven. We'll never hear the word cancer again. We'll never see a broken bone again. We'll never see a broken heart again. Those of you that are saved, you're going to go to heaven someday. But I want people to have that hope. Sometimes I need to use heaven as a motivator for me. I want as many people to go to heaven as possible. I'll tell you this story. There was a lady by the name of Jeannie, and she was dying. She had cancer. She was pretty well shriveled up to nothing. Mrs. Owens and I went to visit Jeannie one night. She was being cared for by hospice, and they called me and they said, "Preacher, you need to come because we believe that before the night's over, Mom's going to go to heaven." So I went, as I had before. I read her scripture. She said, "Preacher, read to me. Tell me about heaven again." I read her some scripture about heaven. And that night, the hospice nurse said, "It won't be long." And I asked this question. I asked this of Judy Steed right before she passed. I said this. I said, "Jeannie, listen, I don't know if they've been honest with you, but I'm your preacher. You're going to go to heaven soon." I remember that old bony hand. She put her hand on my hand. She said, "I know, preacher. It's okay." I said, "Jeannie, could you do me a favor?" She said, "Why, sure, preacher." I said, "Jeannie, when you get to heaven, would you tell Jesus that I love him?"
Amen. Amen.
"And then would you ask him to bless my church?" She said, "I'll do it, preacher." Mrs. Owens and I, we left, and she was doing well. I don't know, honey, we probably didn't get up the road 30 minutes. My phone rang. It was her husband. And he said, "Preacher, my wife's telling Jesus she loves him right now."
Amen.
Folks, I believe in heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. Let me tell you something. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And I'll tell you all something. When I'm facing the burdens of life, when I'm facing something that seems to be bigger than me, when life is crumbling in on me, you know what I do? I just start thinking about heaven. Because heaven moves me. Do you know what moves you? Do you know what motivates you to keep on going for God? Do you know what electrifies you? Do you know what flips your switch so that you'll keep going forward for Christ? There's some of you. You're in neutral right now. You need to get it in gear. You need to go forward for God. I've got a list. On my list is the word duty. On my list is the word failure. On my list is the word broken hearts. On my list is the word hell and the word heaven. There's something else. My family moves me. I want to keep on going because I want my family to see that God is real.
Amen.
I want my family to see that the old time religion is still the right way to go.
Right.
Hey, you know something I would do? I told my wife this before. I would pastor an old fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church, and if the only people that came were my family, I'd go ahead and pastor it. You say why? I want my family to see that God is real. I want them to see that the Bible is still God's Word, and God can still save people and change lives. I let my family motivate me. When I'm tempted to quit, I just think about my kids. I say, I want to keep going for my kids' sake. I want my grandchildren to have a heritage of religion. And I'm talking about the old time religion. My family motivates me. I'll tell you what else motivates me on my list. I have the word children. Just something awful sweet about children. Children are so helpless. And children need someone who will do what's best for them. Boy, we need to salvage America because our children are not going to have the America that we grew up with if somebody doesn't do something about it. Children need motivated leadership. There are moms and dads in this building. You need to go forward for God. You need to keep on going no matter how hard it is. You say, why? Because of your children. Because of your grandchildren. You need to keep going. You need to keep serving God. Somebody needs to fight for the children because they cannot fight for themselves. On our bus route, we had a little girl that we would pick up. Her name was Mariah. Mariah had a disease called spinal bifida. Mariah had had 27 surgeries. They would pick her up on the bus, and then she had her own wheelchair, and it was not a seat. It was like a table on wheels. Because Mariah was all curled up, her arms and legs, she was in the fetal position, but her parents would let her come to church. They'd pull her off the bus and put her on that little rolling table and strap her down. She would lay on her side like this. Mrs. Owens was her Sunday school teacher for a long time. I'll tell you, I'd go into church on a Sunday morning and I would just be tuckered out, wore out from the battles of life and wore out from the battles of the ministry. And in between Sunday school and church, every single Sunday, they would roll Mariah by. She'd roll by my office as I was coming out of my office to go to the platform. There were times when I was so weary and so tired, and I really didn't want to go on. I didn't think I had the energy to get up and preach. And then they'd bring Mariah by. And this is what she'd do. She'd say, "Hi, preacher. Preach good today, preacher. I need it." Oh, I'm going to tell you right now. All the energy I didn't think I had, I found it. And I thought to myself, if that little girl can be strapped to that wheelchair, and she can come to church, and that facing everything that she's faced, and right now, she needs her preacher to stand up like a man. Right now, she needs her preacher to get in that pulpit, and get a hold of God, and make something happen. She needs encouragement. She needs somebody to let her know God loves her. You know something? I lost my discouragement, and I found my encouragement. How? A child. The word child, children, it's on my list. I'm almost done. Of course, that didn't mean much when preachers say it. It's a technique. It usually works. But on my list. On my list, I have the word duty. On my list, I have the word failure. On my list, I have the words broken hearts. I have the word hell and heaven. I've got the words my family. I've got the word children. Tell you what else. I have on my list the word quitter. I do not want to be a spiritual casualty. If you called me a quitter, it would kill me. I don't want to be called a quitter. Everybody here has faced your challenges of life. I've faced mine. But thank God, by His mercy and by His grace, to this day, I've not quit. I don't want to quit on God. I don't want to quit on my wife. I don't want to quit on my kids. I don't want to quit on my country. I don't want to quit on my church. I don't want to quit on the fallen or the wounded. And I don't want to quit on myself. Quitters are a dime a dozen. I don't want to be called a quitter. And it ought to bother you if someone would call you a quitter. That ought to bother you. Get some tenacity. Get some character. Get some drive. Get some want to down inside you. I don't want to be called a quitter. See, these are the things that move me. I have a list. And really, my intent is not to preach my list, but it is to encourage you, get a list. Know how to get yourself going. Know how to encourage yourself. Tell you what else, Calvary moves me.
Amen.
All I have to do is think about what Jesus did when He died for me. And somehow, seeing Him hang on that cross, with that crown of thorns upon His head, and the nails in His hands and in His feet, somehow, that moves me and it makes me want to go forward. I'll tell you this, and again, honestly, I'm almost done. I'll tell you something else I know that moves me. It's on my list. Good preaching.
Amen.
Good preaching moves me. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant, in season. I'll tell you something, if I'm having a rough time, if I can get, it's almost a drug addict getting to their fix. If I can get a preaching CD that's got some good old-fashioned red-hot leather lung, hey, preaching on it, it just gets me going. It's amazing what the right kind of preaching can do to help keep you going. I like to hear Dr. Jack Hiles preach a sermon called Fresh Oil. That flips my switch. Brother Lester Roloff used to preach a sermon called Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. Wow, what a powerhouse sermon. R.G. Lee, Payday Sunday. Dr. Tom Malone, he preaches a sermon called Chopping with a Dull Axe. There are some sermons that I've heard in life, and they motivate me. So you know what I do? I keep them handy. Say, what for? When I need them. I have decided that I might not always have access to you to encourage me, and you might not have access to me to encourage you. And I think that you are responsible to Almighty God to know enough about yourself to know how to encourage yourself when there's nobody around to encourage you. You've got to learn to get up when there's nobody else around. Did you know that you and God can encourage you when you're all by yourself?
Right.
What moves you? You know, the lack of spiritually motivated people motivates me. Someone must move the seemingly unmovable. I was a 16-year-old boy when I got called to preach, got saved, and the truth of the matter is, I'm a country boy, and I don't have a whole lot to offer anybody. There are so many people that could do so many things far greater than I ever could for God. But I watch people that have talents and capabilities, and they were reared so well, but they're not motivated. I feel like a piece of trash that's motivated to make a difference. There are people in here, you're like a jewel, but you're not motivated. Because you're not motivated to serve God as clean, as bright, and as capable as you are. You're not getting anything done. I sometimes look at people that were reared in Christian homes, and I look at people that went to Christian schools, and I look at people that had all these opportunities, and I think, why don't they want to do more? And I'm just a stupid country boy that went to the public school that it's a miracle I even got saved. But I want to do something. I want to make a difference. And I just look up to God and I say, God, I'll tell you what. When you get me, you're not going to get very much. Because I don't have a whole lot to offer. But I will tell you one thing. You can have every ounce of me. You can have all my energy and all my mind. You can have everything that I have. I'll give you my tenacity. I'll give you my drive. You just guide me. And you don't get very much when you get me. But I'm telling you this. You can have all of it, God. God can take nothing that will give His everything to Him and use it to get something done when there are yet people that have it all. But they don't offer it to Him. And so they don't get anything done for God. Moved. Are you moved? If you don't need a sermon like this now, you're going to someday.
That's right.
You're going to someday. But some of you need it now. In a moment, I'm going to have an altar call, and I'm done. This makes it official. I'm done. The same book that I just closed can't open up again. But I'm finished. Listen, we're going to have an altar call, but I beg of you, what I'm telling you tonight, this isn't just some cute thing to get it over with so we had a church service. This will change your life. I would beg of you that you would go in your Bible and you write you a little list of what motivates you. Some of yours might be like mine. Some of yours might be different. You need to write down what motivates you. And one of these days, you're going to be in despair. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be down. And all you have to do is crawl the fly leaf of your Bible and open it up and say, oh, I'm going to try that. And if one thing you wrote down didn't work, try another. I'll promise you. By the time you get to the end of your list, you'll be moved again.
That's right.
You'll be moved again. We have enough lethargic, depressed Christianity. We need some Christians that are moved. We need some mamas to get back on the firing line. And some daddies to get back on the firing line. Get yourself moved. Figure out what motivates you and let it happen. Study your Bible. Study yourself. Figure out about God, and then figure out about you. You are your own worst enemy. Or you can be your own best friend. Make a list. Just bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. My question to you, first of all, is if you die tonight, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Are you saved? Listen to this very carefully. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried for you, and He was resurrected for you. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody here is a sinner. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for sin. says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because we're sinners, we deserve to go to hell. But Jesus died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, when he died, was buried and resurrected, paid your sin debt for you. He made it so you could go to heaven. He offers that as a free gift. He said, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. Jesus paid that penalty. God says, if you'd like to have the free gift of heaven, you ask me to come into your heart and be your Savior. I'll save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. That is the gospel in a nutshell. That's it. If you're not sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. If you will say this prayer and mean it, God will save you. You just say this. Say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Oh, forgive me of that sin. Come into my heart and save me. Please take me to heaven when I die. Now, if you said that prayer, and if you meant it, God saved you and will take you to heaven someday when you die. God did not make it complicated. He had to mean it. The Bible says with the heart. Let me ask this question with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anybody here that when I led you through that prayer, you said it? You say, I said that. Would you raise your hand so God could see it? I see that hand. 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 Seven. I see number eight. I see number nine. Somebody else, you say, I said that prayer. I see number 10. Someone else. God bless you. The Bible teaches if you pray and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, He'll save you. And that means if you prayed a minute, God will take you to heaven someday when you die. I'll tell you this. If you just prayed that prayer, that means you're on your way to heaven. If you're a guest here from another church, you need to go forward at your church and let people know that you got born again. But if you just got saved, you need to get into the right kind of church. If you come, if you want to tell us that you got saved, we could write it down on a piece of paper and record it here at our church. But I'm not going to make you do that. I'm just concerned that 10 people ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them. That's what it's all about. Now, Christian, here is one of the great things I want to accomplish. In a second, we'll be on our way. Who here would say, Pastor Owens, I am going to make me a list. I will take time tonight or tomorrow or very soon this week. I'm going to sit down and start a list of the things that encourage me, and I'm going to keep it handy so I can use it. Because I see I'm going to need a list from time to time to help get myself out of some of my discouragement or despair. I'm going to promise God tonight, I will get me a list started so I can refer to it. Who would raise your hand and say, I'll do it. I'm going to do it. Almost every hand in the house. There may be four or five hands that are not up. And they need to be up, unless you already have a list. Because you're going to need to know how to keep yourself from being discouraged. You may put those hands down. We're going to have a quick altar call, what we always do at our church. If you need a moment to pray, maybe you need to come up here and talk to God a little bit about your list. Hey, if you didn't pray and ask Jesus into your heart, like those 10 people did, if you need to come, if you'll just let me know, just signal me. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved just like they were. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and pray maybe about your list? Are you discouraged? You say, you know what? I need something to help me get motivated. Some of you need to get moved. You need to get moved. You need to figure out what energizes you. Figure out what creates enthusiasm in your last life. Some here, you need the word duty. You tried a bunch of other things. So you know what you need to do? Do it. You say, why? Because it's right to do. And so everybody here understands that sometimes you just have to do it because it's right to do. I wish I could give you a more pleasant solution to your discouragement, but sometimes you just need to keep going because it's right to keep going. Maybe failure would move you, or a broken heart, or hell, or heaven. Maybe you need to keep going for your family, or for those children. Don't be a quitter. Let Calvary move you. There are people in here, you need to order this CD and get it and listen to it and let it move you. there must have been 90 to 100 people that raised their hand and promised God they would start a list. So they have a list to refer to, so they can get themselves motivated when they're having a tough time. I use my list all the time. Are you moved? Jesus was moved with compassion. And I'll promise you, in the passage of Scripture that we read, Jesus had looked at the sick, he had looked at the multitude, he had looked at the children, he had looked at people that needed to be saved. You know what had happened? He let those things move him. It's exactly what he did, and that's what I'm recommending to you tonight. This is the last time through the song. We're going to pray and go. Be moved for the cause of Jesus Christ. Standing, if you will, look up this way. Thank you for coming.